You know what? You're blessed, right? You're blessed. You know this already. Hey, you know, there's a guy that goes to this church that he's pretty famous, famouser than I am, famouser than you are. I seen him on the commercial. Dalton was on a commercial for the Ridge Cinemas. Well, even though he was wearing that mask, I knew it was him. Yep. It's one of them slow motion appearances. It's pretty cool. It's like slow motion. He's like, "What are you doing, Dalton?" You're like, "What are you doing?" Putting on a mask. Oh, yeah. You're letting everybody know you can come see the picture show. And everyone will be safe. All right. Okay. Anywho, I'm just kind of stumbling around here. Let's talk about what's truly important this morning. Father God, thank you so much. Let us be overwhelmed, Lord, with your love and your goodness and your grace. Let us truly hunger and thirst for who you are and what you have for us. Don't let us waste our time chasing after other things that won't fulfill, Lord. But let us hunger after you. Your will be done in this service. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. John 5 and verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roof colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. Okay. Now this place right here is actually, they know exactly where this place is. This place truly exists. This was an old historical pool right here. But if you notice that some of your Bibles will not have verse 4, okay? Some of your Bibles will not have verse 4 because that was not in the original manuscripts, okay? But it looks like somebody throughout the years added that in there, maybe to try and help out, make the book a little more exciting or something like that. But I'm here to tell you this morning, the good Lord doesn't need our help. The good Lord needs our obedience, okay? So this is what happened. Verse 4, where it talks about an angel coming down and stirring up the waters and all that. Okay, that was not in the oldest manuscripts that we have available. But it did pop up later on throughout the years. So most of our Bibles, a lot of our Bibles, have omitted that. But that is definitely what these people believed of this time. They would gather around, all these invalids, these blind folks, these people with all these ailments, would gather around this pool, and they believed that there was some sort of supernatural something going on in this water, okay? But here at Victory Life Church, we pride ourselves, and we don't add to the book, we don't take away from the book, so we're only going to preach from the purest form of the Scripture that we have. Can I get a witness? So anyways, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda. That place really exists. They found it, excavated it, it's around. Which have five roof colonnades. So there's a big like porch type jam where people would bring their sick folk, man, to gather around this pool. And they really believed, hey, if I can get in that water when it gets stirred up, man, if I can be the first one to get in that water, I'm going to be healed. Okay, so by the tons, man, there was all these sick people would gather around there. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. Raise your hands if you think that's a long time to be an invalid. Most of you, a lot of you, some of you don't really think that's a long time to be an invalid. But well, that is a long time to be messed up. Can I get a witness? One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. Okay, how many of you think, let's be real, we're in church, how many of you guys think that it would be very tempting to want to give up on your miracle by that point? How many of you think that it would be kind of difficult to, you know, it'd be really easy sometimes just say, God, I don't think this is going to happen for me, you know? And we might would even have to fight discouragement. You know, thinking, hey, God, I see you. You did this for Joe Bill, I see you did this for Bill Jack. I see you did this for Mary Lou. These people, you know, they went through hard times and they've seemed to come through it better than ever. And here I am. I'm kind of stuck in this situation. I've been stuck in this hopeless situation for 38 years. It would be pretty tempting to want to give up. It would be pretty tempting to want to get bitter. It'd be pretty tempting to want to start blaming other people around you, saying, oh man, you're just God's favorite kid, or you got everything worked out better than I do. God's playing favorites. Nah. Not all God's people said that ain't true. God ain't playing favorites. Can I get a witness? So this is what we want to do. Ephesians 6 in verse 10. Okay. We don't give up. All right, God's people don't give up. Amen? We don't give up. We're trusting in the Lord. Now, we don't have the ability within ourselves sometimes. We don't have that ability in ourselves to keep going, man. But see, that's where we're blessed, because we belong to the Most High God. Do you belong to the Most High God this morning? Are you saved? You've been washed in the blood. You're a Christian. You're a new creation in Christ. Okay, then you have something really awesome going for you, okay? Because just like this guy in the story, we all can get pretty close to that situation where we just want to throw in the towel, man. My buddy Donnie says, he's not here this morning, but he says, hey, don't throw in the towel, throw in the Word of God. And that's good advice. Don't throw in the towel, throw in the Word of God. Let's look at Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Listen, we don't have it in ourselves sometimes to keep going. Sometimes the weight of the world is so heavy on us that we want to give up. We want to throw in that towel, okay? We can be so fearful. We can be trepidatious even. Just fearful of what may or may not happen, where we just want to give in, cash it all in, just give up. Okay, now looky here. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord. Well, how can I be strong in the Lord? Hey, listen, lean on Him, okay? Guess what? If you're a Christian, guess what dwells inside you? The Holy Spirit dwells inside you. And that's a true statement. It doesn't matter what kind of church you were brought up in. It doesn't matter what your uncle said. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've made that commitment. You've repented of your sins. Guess what? The Holy Spirit dwells inside you. And greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world, okay? I have something available to me that the unbeliever does not have. So when I get fearful, when I get trepidatious, when I feel like giving up, okay, I trust, I lean on the Most High God. And sometimes folks don't like that. You know, sometimes our unbelieving friends, they see us as weak because we're leaning on the Lord. But you know what? That's what we've been called to do, my friends. And it's not that Jesus Christ, it's not that the Lord is that crutch like they so often try and tell us, which He is a crutch, but He's everything. He's everything. He's the operating room. He's all of it. Okay? See, that's what we got to lean on. I can have strength. I can have peace no matter what's going on in my world. If you've been an invalid for 38 years, if you've struggled with a situation, an addiction, something for years and years and years, or bitterness, I don't know, fill in the blank of whatever might be weighing you down, and you're at that point where you're like, it is what it is. This is just how I am. This is my cross to bear. This is what I got to deal with. Okay, listen, don't give up. Lean on the Most High God, because Isaiah says He gives strength to the weary. And you know, sometimes we do get weary. We do. We get worn out, man. We get tired from doing the thing, man. Okay, but God says He's got strength for us. So we lean on Him. Look at your neighbor and say, we got to lean on Him. Amen. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. So my God can do all things. Luke 1:37, my God can do all things. We know that, okay? But what does that have to do with the price of tea in China? My God can do all things, okay? I'm not God. Well, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. Okay, so I lean on Him. Okay, when I'm going through this storm, don't give up. That's the point I'm trying to make right now. Don't give up. Trust in God, pull your strength from Him, listen to the Holy Spirit. Faith cometh by what? Faith cometh by hearing. Listen, man, this is my commercial for the Bible. I don't regret it. That's what we're here to talk about. We got to stay in this Word, okay? You got to stay in this Word. That's going to be the difference a lot of times between you giving up and not giving up. You know, listen to what God says. Okay, let's move forward. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. This is God talking to his people right here. Okay? So yeah, you know, we can get discouraged. We can, you know, put our hope, our trust, and all sorts of things that are not going to fulfill you. You know, they might give you a little peace for a moment. Hey, if I get this relationship, everything's going to be peachy. It's going to be perfect. Not true, man. Not true. You know, there's only one thing. There's only one thing that is going to give you that peace, that lasting peace. And that's what you've been made for. That desire is what we need, that desire to want more of God and less of myself. Can I get a witness? That's what we need. Nothing else is going to pacify. And I'm not talking about bad things. I'm talking about good things, man. Kids are good. Kids are awesome, man. But if you know, if you're one of those people, I just got to get one more kid. I'm not one of those people, by the way. But if I just get my baby girl, then my life is going to be sweet. My life is going to be perfect. No, man. Listen. God is what you must have. Can I get a witness? That's all we need. Okay. Fear not. And let's be honest. We do. We'll chase the blessings, man. We'll run them blessings down, man. We want what is shiny, what glimmers. But all that stuff's going to fade away, man. It's not going to last. Fear not, for I am with you. Think about that for one tiny, 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 tiny second. We don't have to be full of fear. We don't have to be full of regret or sorrow. Fear not, for I am with you. Who's with you? God's with you. Is God with everybody? His presence is everywhere. No, that doesn't mean he's with you. That does mean he's everywhere. Okay, but this is talking about a relationship with the Lord. And we got to have it. If you don't have it, you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. Tomorrow's not promised to you. Tomorrow's not promised to anybody. Okay? I do a lot of funerals, man. I do more than I'd ever like to do. I did like 3 last month or something like that. You know, tomorrow's not promised to you. You can make all your plans. You can make all kinds of plans saying, well, I got to do this. I got to do that. Listen, when the good Lord says it's time to go, it's going to be time to go. Amen? So that's just how it is. So if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, you need to do that today. I expect you. I plead with you. If you feel a tugging of the Holy Spirit, you need to come talk to me before you leave today. Amen. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Man, I've been an invalid for 38 years. What do you mean, man? I'm so discouraged, man. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. So, okay, so here's the deal. You're not alone, okay? But who's with you? God is with you, the creator of the universe. Look outside. Go stand on the edge of a cliff. Don't jump off, but just look. All right? Don't, you know, not to tempt the Lord your God. But look, just look at God's beauty and grandeur and all these things he created, the moon and the stars and all this wonderful stuff, man. Your God made that stuff, okay? He spoke this stuff into being, and he loves you, and he says, hey, you know what? You might have been going through a rough patch here for 20 years, 38 years, 14 hours, 14 minutes, whatever it is. I'm with you, and I'm God. I'm not just some Joe. I am God, the creator of the universe. This is who we are in a covenant relationship with. Amen? Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Okay, well, what does that mean? God, you're with me, and it's God. It is the one true God. Because I'm not putting all my eggs in the basket of some fake thing that's going to give me peace. I'm trusting in the Most High God. Well, guess what? He's got what we need, okay? I will strengthen you. You ever feel like that? You ever feel like, man, God, I'm just wore out from the floor out. I'm just burnt out, man. I can't do this right now. Guess what? We lean on him. He gives us what we need, and he's more than enough. Give him some praise. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Isn't that cool? He gives me strength, and he helps me. You ever feel like, hey, I don't know if I'm quite good enough to handle this task that is before me, okay? Well, maybe you've done your homework. Maybe you've did everything you can do, and you still feel like, I don't know. This isn't really, I don't think I can do this. Well, guess what? Check it out. All God's people say, check it out. I will strengthen you. Oh, how about them apples? I will strengthen you. I will help you. Isn't that cool? If it ain't cool, you ain't really had to use it yet. But think about it. You're walking into the big whatever, man. Are you just, man, you're just so discouraged, man. Hey, get your eyes off of yourself for a minute. Look at your neighbor and say, man, it's not about you. It's about the Most High God. And He will strengthen you as you need it. We have to rely on Him, okay? Because there is that impulse to where, you know, sometimes we want to get frustrated, we want to get bitter. We think God's messing around with us. We think God don't care about you. And so we want to push away. We want to go the other direction. Don't do it. All God's people said, don't do it. Don't do it. That's not going to end up good for you. You don't want to go around that mountain more times than you have to. I want to make my path straight. So I'm going to lean on the Most High God. Can I get a witness? I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Man, what a beautiful, beautiful little verse right there. If you've ever been so weak and so discouraged, just think about that. When I lean on the Lord, He ain't going to let you fall. He's not going to let you fall. He'll hold you up. Hey, like I said, that might not mean much to you now, but get this verse in your heart. Because it is it's a true statement, because I have been there where God holds you up when you feel like you can't take another step. So here's this cat. Here's this guy, 38 years, sitting by this pool. Nothing's changing, man. Just sitting there. Getting worse, maybe. Just day in, day out, same thing. What you going to be doing tomorrow, invalid guy? I'm sitting right here, man. Were you going to be free to hang out? Yeah, I'll be right here. You want to come over? All right. Anywho, fear not, for I am with you. Who's with you? Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. God is with you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Isn't that so cool? Isn't that so cool, church? Listen up, man. Look, I'm not alone. God's with me, and God's going to give me what I need. Get excited about that. Travis, start smacking people around. Okay. Let's go to the next slide, beloved. No, you stay right there. You stay right there where you're at. Verse 6. So here's the guy, 38 years, nothing's changing. Have you ever felt like that? Ain't nothing going to change for me. Be honest, man. I mean, you ain't got to say it, but just search your heart. You ever felt like that? Ain't nothing going to change for me. This is just how it is for me. Now listen very closely to this verse, verse 6. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, do you want to be healed? That's so important. So much stuff going on in this verse. Let's just pick it apart. Y'all got time? Do you got time? Y'all need to be anywhere in the next few minutes? Okay. When Jesus saw him, dude has been there for 38 years, ain't nothing changed, man. Okay? He's done probably giving up on everything. This is what it is, man. It ain't the world's worst view. Here I am. I got a nice little shady colonnade over me here and beautiful pool and hanging out with my bros. What's up? You know, got all this going on, man. Ain't nothing changed in 38 years. But look, listen up. Give me just a few more minutes of your time, like 15 or 20. When Jesus saw him, who saw him? Jesus saw him. Okay, so let me ask you this. Does Jesus know what you're going through? Does Jesus care about what you're going through? Even if you feel like your situation has not changed, guess what? Who knows what you're going through? And guess who knows what you're going through? But he loves you and he cares about what you're going through. You might think, nobody cares about me. No one cares about Paul. No one cares about whatever, fill in the blank, whoever, you know, just dismiss all that rubbish. Rebuke it in the name of Jesus, right? You know how you can do that? By getting into the Word of God, seeing what God says about you. Amen? Okay. When Jesus saw him, let me read Psalm 139, 7 and 8. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, Jesus knew he had been there for a long time. Jesus knew what he was going through. Now let me read this verse and put yourself into this situation, okay? Listen up, beloved. Psalm 139, verse 7. Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? Okay, God sees it all, man. I'm talking about people that have a relationship with Jesus. I mean, he sees it all anyways, okay? But I'm talking about, this should mean something to us, people that are trusting in the Most High God. You feel like I'm abandoned. You feel like it doesn't matter. No one cares about me. This is God. This is what God is trying to tell us right now. So check it out. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, everyone say Sheol. If I make my bed in Sheol, that's like hell. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. So whether I'm on the top of the mountain, or I'm halfway down the mountain, or I'm in the darkest, deepest valley of my life, guess what? I got that relationship with God. Guess what? God's right there. He knows what I'm going through. And he cares about what I'm going through. Does that mean anything? That's a game changer right there. So therefore, guess what? You're not alone. Okay? And not that you're not alone. That's awesome. But God is with you. And God is committed to you. And he knows what you're going through. Okay? Now look at this. Psalm 139 verse 8. If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. So, you know, let's be completely honest. We're in church. Sometimes we can make our bed in Sheol. Sometimes we can go and go out there into the world and try and make that work for us. You know what I mean? And we should know better. We're not part of the world anymore. Okay? We're passing through. But sometimes we can look for every single thing that's going to pacify. We think, well, let me try this. Or this seems to be working for flibbity-dibbity-doo, so I'm going to try this. Or, man, that looks good. I do all these things, and they're not going to pacify. They're not going to, I mean, we'll go out the world. We'll try everything the world has to offer, and it's not going to fill that space. It's not going to give us peace. But see, guess what? I'm God's child. We're not all God's child. We're not all God's children. I hate to say it, but we're not. You have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You have to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, and you have to mean that. Now you are God's child. Before that, you are created. You are God's creation, but you're not his child. Does that make sense? So I'm telling you, man, don't put it off another day. If you haven't asked him to be your Lord and Savior, do it today. Can I get a witness? We'll try everything this world has to offer sometimes. It's not going to pacify. It's not going to feel that holy. And it might give us that temporal peace for a little bit. But guess what? Once that thing stops shining, whatever that is, or it's not working out exactly the way you thought it would, you're going to be right back in the same mess. All right? So we can make our bed. We can try and get comfy out in the world. You know, we can try and do that, but it's not going to work out. But see, check this out. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? This verse is used an awful lot. I've used it myself as saying, hey, God sees all the bad, nasty things you're doing. That's true. That's totally true. And it ain't not talking about that, but what it's also talking about, you're not alone, beloved. God sees what you're going through. You see what I'm saying? He's right there with you, and he loves you. No matter how hopeless your situation looks, or how lonely you feel, or how your situation might never, ever, ever, ever change, or no one has ever dealt with what you're dealing with, okay, God's right there with you, okay? So we can't play the whole, no one cares. Ah, the creator of the universe cares immensely. Psalm 34 and verse 18, check this out. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. My friends, that is a true, true statement, okay? The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. Now, sometimes we'll kick and scream and we'll want to run the other way, okay? And that's true because I've done that. But see, I have this relationship with the Lord, and you have this relationship with the Lord. And God knows what's going to happen to you tomorrow. God knows what's waiting around that corner for you. And so God's rolling up his sleeves saying, I'm going to be here for him through this. I'm going to be here for her through this. Okay? Now, we got to want it and not push it away because we get bitter or frustrated or mean or angry. God, why did you let this happen to me? And we say that sometimes. And that's a good question. God, why did you let this happen to me? You know? Well, fact of the matter is, sometimes we're not going to understand that. That's a big question. And every answer we need is right there in the book. And what God tells me is, my ways are not your ways. Okay, My way of thinking is a lot different than your way of thinking. So God's a big picture God. He's looking at the big picture, okay? And we want that instant gratification station, man. We want to go right through it, man. We don't want any trouble. We want that sitcom life, right? You know? Yeah, 30 minutes, everything's gravy. Can I get a witness? Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. Okay, so that tells me a couple little tidbits of life right there. I'm going to have the potential to have a broken heart. I'm going to have the potential to have my spirit crushed, you know, just to be blown away with the craziness of this life. Okay? The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. That's the good part. God is right there. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. So yeah, your spirit might get into a tight situation, but guess what? God's right there. Okay, so why am I trying to tell you guys this? I'm trying to get us to this place. I'm trying to get Paul to this place, okay, to where we understand, and we don't just understand, but it's in my heart. God, you are all I need, okay? All the other things will fall into place, okay? I'm not saying you won't have to work for it, but I'm saying we don't chase the blessings, man. I'm not saying don't work hard. I'm saying just put God first. Put God first, your relationship with him, and then you can weather any stinking storm that may come your way. Can I get a witness? Because if you give him some praise, yeah. I mean, you can put your trust in your bank account and all that. Man, some dude in Romania can steal that right now while you're sitting here. I mean, it's nothing I've working out. I have nothing to do with that if that happens. Move in. Do it. No, I'm just saying, man, your money can go just like that, dude. You know, your health can go just like that. Relationships. I'm just saying, that's the world we live in, man. We live in a fallen world. People will say, I'll be there for you forever. And man, their forever might be 2 hours or 2 days or 20 years. You don't know, okay? But I'm saying God is faithful. That's all I'm trying to say. Okay, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, God knows what you're going through, down to the split second. God knew he's been there for 38 years. He said to him, okay, let's park it right there. Is it okay if we just park it right there for a second? He said to him, okay, Jesus said something to this guy, this invalid guy, this guy who's all gimped up, something ain't working right. Okay, he's messed up, he's in a bad place. 38 years like that. God knew what he was going through. You got that. God saw it, but God says something to him. God is speaking to all of us, okay? We got this word right here, and that's what changes everything. Does that make sense? Okay, here's what Granny said, and that might be some great advice. It might not be great advice, you know? Some of y'all's grannies ain't all that, you know? I mean, this is what my school teacher said. This is what so-and-so said. Okay? But this is what God says. That's what matters. Okay? Knowing that he'd been there for a long time, he said to him, Psalm 119, verse 105. Look at your monitor. Because maybe, just maybe, you've been dealing with a situation for a long, long time, and you don't seem to be getting any better. You don't seem to have any peace about it, okay? And you've tried to pacify yourself with anything this world has to offer. You've got all the good self-help books and all that. You're eating right, but ain't nothing really changing in your life. Okay, looky here. Doesn't matter what Richard Simmons says. I'm talking about this is what the Most High God said. Can I get a witness? Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool, man? You remember after a hurricane or something, or your power goes out in your house and you can't see nothing and you run into a wall? I do this all the time. Well, I don't do it all the time. I do it more than I like to admit. But sometimes I'll get up in the middle of the night and I'll misjudge where things are. You know, I'm like, I think the bathroom door's right here, and I'll like hit the wall. You know why that is? It's because I ain't got a lamp. Yeah, I don't know where I'm going, man. But see, the Word of God directs you and leads you. So when everybody says, man, just give in, throw in the towel, you ain't no good, you ain't no count, ain't no one ever going to love you, Well, the Word of God says something completely different. The Word of God says I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You know what I mean? The Word of God says that I'm like this masterpiece that He's working on. You know? The Word of God says He'll never leave me or forsake me. Okay? So that's completely different than what somebody else might be saying to you. Okay? And those people might love you, and they might be trying to give you the best advice that they can give. But it still might be completely different than what the Most High God says. So that's what we stand on. So, invalid guy sitting there. But Jesus said something to him. Jesus speaks to us through the Word of God. So we need to get into that Word of God. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Been there a long time. He said to him, do you want to be healed? Now that right there, man, that's kind of crazy. We went through this before. But, you know, at first glance, Jesus Christ, who knows everything, who had already known the guy had been hurting and sitting there or laying there or whatever for 38 years, you would think Jesus would know, and Jesus does know, but Jesus is asking us, do you want to get better? Are you just comfortable? Have you grown comfortable in this situation? Has it become a badge of honor? Listen, has it become somewhat of a badge of honor to play the victim? Have you ever done that? Have you ever liked that, how that feels a little bit? Okay, this is my lot in life. This is what I got to go through. And I'm going to let everybody know. Okay, looky here, man. I want you to understand something. You are loved by God. You are loved by God, okay? And that means something, okay? That's not just the cute kid on the school playground liking you. I'm talking about the creator of the universe that can do all things, that loves you with an undying love. And he says, I'm going to give you strength through this. We're going to get through this, okay? And I'm going to take good care of you, and it's going to get good. All God's people said, it's going to get good. Say it like this, it's going to get good. There you go. Okay. So Jesus says, hey, do you want to be healed? And you know, reading that, we're like, of course the guy wants to be healed, man. And of course he does want to be healed. You know, but like I said, 38 years sitting on that mat, sitting on that rug, sitting on that little bed. Man, that had to be pretty stinking nasty. Underlining stinky. That had to be nasty. Okay, that dude was sitting there. He didn't have people tending to him. Okay, well, how do you know that? Because I know how the story ends, man. He didn't have anybody there. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, do you want to be healed? So ask yourself that this morning. Do you want to be healed, or do you want to keep trying these things that everybody else does that does not pacify? You know, somebody that has the nice, fancy, perfect, beautiful house, you know what I mean? That's nice and that's great, but you know what? There's something else that's missing. You know what I mean? If they don't have Jesus, they will never be satisfied, okay? I'm not trying to mess up your parade. I'm just trying to say that's what truly matters, that relationship with the Lord and leaning on Him for everything, man. You know, He is my everything. Amen? All right. Now, I think I'm coming down on you because you work hard. We need to work hard. We need to work hard. I'm just saying our joy is in the Lord. Our strength is in the Lord. Amen? So what are we talking about? No, like seriously, what are we talking? Okay. Do you want to be healed? Think about it. Go down the list. Man, ain't nothing going to change for me. Scratch that out. That ain't true. Let's look at Psalm 62. Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 62, 1 and 2. It's on your monitor or your bulletin here. This is the third week in a row I've used this verse because it is just so good and so powerful, and I want us all to grab a hold of it. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. There it is, man. Try and grab that. Get a hold of that. It's not going to pacify, maybe for a second, okay? For God alone. That's the place you got to be, church. That's the place we all got to be. That's the place where Paul has to be. All right? Can I get a witness? Where it's all about him. I know y'all are getting tired, so we're going to move really, really fast. I'm going to start giving you, I'm going to read the rest of this in shorthand. I'm playing. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. Where does your salvation come from? From God alone, man. Okay, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, okay? We have access to that Holy Spirit. Okay, man cannot live by bread alone. We need to start feeding that spirit, man. Okay, you don't want to be discouraged all the time? Start feeding that spirit, man. You know what I mean? I rarely will deny myself a delicious tasty treat at one of these fine establishments like Circle K or Tom Thumb or whatever. They have these delicious Debbie cakes. And, well, it doesn't matter. But I walk by them and I'm like, you know, if the price is right, you know what I mean? I grab one of them old boys, take it with me. You know what I mean? So I don't deny me old flesh man too much, and that's a problem I got. You know what I mean? But I'll certainly starve my spirit man sometimes. You know what I mean? But see, we got to stay in the Word of God. We got to renew our mind with the washing of the Word, man. I was listening to Preacher Fred this week, man. You know, the podcast, the Victory Life podcast this week was Brother Fred. And it was from way back in 1997. Man, that cat could preach, man. He had it going on. And he was talking about, some of you old people, I mean old congregants might remember, when he talked about the church needs a brainwashing. Y'all remember that? We need to wash our brain with the Word of God. True statement. Very true statement. Anybody remember that? Okay. All right. Moving forward. God's our only hope. Psalm 62, 1 and 2. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. Who's going to get you out of this mess? Who, if he chooses to not pull you out of this mess, who is going to give you peace in that mess? God alone. That's the only thing that will pacify. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation. My fortress, I shall not be greatly shaken. Who would like to be able to say, I'm not going to be greatly shaken? No, you don't understand. It's election season, and this can happen, and the riots in the street, and the pandemics, the plandemics, and the epidemics, and all this stuff's going on, and you got all these different personalities. Everybody's coming against you. There's so much potential to freak out or get fearful, you know? I'm not going to be greatly shaken. Well, how come, Paul? How come you ain't going to be greatly shaken? Because I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing on the Most High. God, give him some praise. Goodness gracious. All right, let's go to the next slide. John 5 and verse 7. The sick man answered him. Okay, Jesus says to him, hey, do you want to get better, buddy? Do you want to be healed? And so we have to search our hearts. Man, have I just got kind of comfortable in this little role of just being this kind of grumpy fella or this unforgiving sister or whatever? You know, is this just kind of, you know, kind of what I've just kind of slid into because it's been so long? Or do you want to get better? When you realize something is not productive to your relationship with the Lord, and quite frankly, it's not productive to the people around you, you know what I mean? Whatever we're dealing with sometimes, man, it don't just stay with you. You know what I mean? Okay. So anywho, this is what the sick fella says, okay? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred. So that was the belief of the day, that pool right there, when it starts to bubbly, bubbly, boo, when it starts to get stirred up, if I can be the first guy down there, if I can be the first one down there, I'm going to get healed. All right? So here's multitudes. The Bible says multitudes of invalids. All right? A bunch of people that were hurting. Okay, and there a little air bubble rises up, or maybe it was a spring. Something would start to happen, and man, all these invalids would rush down there. And here's this dude. He's like, man, I've done given up on getting better. I tried it for the first 20 years trying to get down there. But man, have you ever gotten in the way of a bunch of blind people? You know what I mean? The guy's crawling on the ground or whatever he's trying to do, and people are tripping over. What he just gives up. I can't do it. This is just how I'm going to be, all right? And see, he's looking at that pool, and he's thinking, man, if I could have just been, I could have been a contender. If I could have just got, if I could, it's just right there. But then after a while, you're like, so close yet so far, man. It ain't for me. It ain't going to work out for me. Okay, that's the exact opposite way of how we need to be thinking. And that's how Satan's going to whisper to our ears. You know what I mean? But see, we belong to the Most High God. Okay. What are we doing? The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Okay. You see what's going on here? The sick guy, and I'm not picking on the sick guy because I've been this guy, all right? We can all be this guy. He's blaming everybody else. Like, everybody else has got it easier than me. Everybody's got this going on, man. You know, this guy, you know, he's got a relative that'll come hang out with him in case it gets stirred up. And, you know, somebody will help these people down. But, man, it's been 38 years. Don't nobody even care about me no more. My kinfolk done went to the other side. You know, it's just me and my nasty old stinky Matt. You know, just me all alone. Well, you're not alone. Okay? All right. John 8 and verse 36. Let's let God change the way we see things. Does that make sense? John 8, 36. Instead of blaming everybody else, and that's so easy to do. That's so, so easy to do. That's what I like to do. It ain't my fault. It's your fault. You know, I'm just dealing with what you got going on, man. You know, I'm trying to make the best out of a bad situation. Dealing with you and all your nonsense. It's easy to blame other people. You know, but that ain't going to get us anywhere, okay? I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not. I ain't going to do it. I'm just going to say, it's easy to blame other people. Okay, John 8 and verse 36, so if the Son, talking about Jesus, so if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. We can be delivered from looking at everybody else, saying, oh man, they got it better than me. We can be delivered of saying, you know, if I just get this, this, and this, my life will be complete, because we know that's a dead end. But our flesh still wants to try for it. Man, I just need one more. You know what I mean? It ain't going to work out, my friends. All right? We can be delivered. Only the Most High God can set us free from that. And we got to want that. So we got to hit rock bottom, more or less. We got to get to the place where we're like, you know what? I'm tired of putting this off on other people. I'm tired of trying to satisfy and pacify with this, this, this. I'm tired of being so trepidatious about things that may or may not happen. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Proverbs 17 and verse 17. Okay, I want the Son to set me free. I don't want to live like this any longer, man. Okay, I want the Son to set me free. Proverbs 17 verse 17. A friend loves at all time. Okay? Stop thinking nobody cares about me. Stop thinking people are trying to whatever. And those things might even be true to a certain extent. Okay? I hope not. But see, there is somebody in your corner who truly does matter. Okay? All right? Proverbs 17 and verse 17. A friend loves at all times. Don't you just love those faithful friends? Don't you just really love your friends? Those friends that will be there no matter what. Those friends that it doesn't matter if you're 30 pounds lighter than you was or 30 pounds heavier or you just falling out of grace with everybody else. But then you have those one or two people that you know have your back. Those people, you know, that'll tell you how it is because they love you and they'll be there for you. They're not going to walk out the back door just because it's convenient, man. They love you, okay? You know what? That's what Jesus is, okay? He loves you with an undying love. Okay. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Okay. Jesus is like, yeah, I know your heart is crushed right now. I know you're so tired of going through this for 20 years, 15 years. You think nothing's ever going to change, and you'd have grabbed everything you could to try and pacify and fill that gap, you know? But God says, guess what? This is what I'm here for. This is where the rubber meets the road, and you're not going to go through it alone. We can if we want to. We keep trying and going around that mountain over and over again, you know. But when we lean on God, when we trust in Him, and that does not mean you're going to get everything on your Christmas list. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get everything on your Christmas list, but what it means is God will be there to give you what you need. All right? So, I mean, check it out. When I pray, I'll talk about that in a second. And we're wrapping things up. Okay, so here's the dude. He's sick. 38 years been sick. Nothing's working out for him. Jesus says, hey, you want to be healed? He thinks, oh, yeah, I want to be healed. But every time I try, it's that guy's fault. It's this guy's fault. God, why did you make me like this? You know, that guy can get down there faster than I can get down there. Well, look around, man. Look at this multitude of cats, man. Look at all these people. They all got issues, man. They all got something. They're all dealing with something. Ain't nobody's life perfect. But you know what? We give it all to God. And guess what? That's where we're going to have that peace and that contentment, because that's what you're meant to be. That's where you're meant to be. Can I get a witness? Okay. Jesus said to him, get up, take up your bed, and walk. Earlier, Miss Brenda, earlier, Mikey, we said Jesus said something to the guy. And so we said, hey, when God speaks, we listen. We get into the Word of God. We see what He says. Okay. But let's follow this all the way through. It's not just hearing what God says, but it's about being obedient to what the Word of God says. Because look at this. What if the guy was like, did you not just hear what I just said, Jesus? Did you not hear what I ain't no one going to help me. And I'm stuck here on this mat. I've been here for 38 years. And Jesus is like, well, get up and walk. He's like, don't you. What if he's like, man, it's been too long. I can't get up and walk. Don't you understand? What if he didn't believe? What if he didn't take that first step? You see what I'm saying? You got to believe the Word of God, okay? Believe it, but before you can believe it, you got to hear it. You got to get it in there, you know? Read the Word of God. Listen to the preacher man on the radio. Do something. Get the Word in you. I have friends that are like, I don't like to read. I like to listen to the Bible on the radio or the Bible on the CD or on the internet. Well, do it. That's fine. That's great. Do it. Get it in there. Do it all day long. You know what I mean? Okay, tell the truth, shame the devil, right? Jesus said to him, get up, take up your bed, and walk. What if the dude was like, done tried that. It doesn't work. You know, we need to trust in God, okay? And we need to be obedient. James 1, verse 22. This is us, church. But be doers of the word. But be doers of the word. Look at your neighbor and say, scoot over just a little bit. No, look at your neighbor and say, be doers of the word. Be doers of the word. Do what the Bible says. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You ever feel kind of good? You're like, whew, man, I went to church. It wasn't horrible. I went to church. I got that out of the way for the week. You know, that's good. That's good. I'm glad we're all together. But we really have to be doers of the word. That's where the breakthrough is going to come from. You know, we can know something, but until we apply it, it's not going to do anything. Can I get a witness? So Jesus said to him, get up, take up your bed, and walk. And at once, the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. We're going to end today there, but there's a lot more to this story. You should check it out. It's in John 5. But look, all at once, man, his situation changed. Just like that. Boom. 38 years just fell like water, man. Boo, looky here. I'm walking around. You know, I'm taking my old dirty mat. I don't need it no more. But look, that's where I used to be. I used to sit on that. See that indention? See all that? That's right. Woo, I'm not that person anymore. I've been set free. Okay. Now look, and at once, your situation can change like that. But see, sometimes God might be like, hey, you gotta drink from this cup. You got to go through this, okay? And I know you're trusting in me. I know you're leaning on me, and that's where you need to be. Because guess what? When you cry out to the Lord, this is what's going to happen. Seriously, I'm going to tell you right now how your prayer is going to get answered. Yep. You're going to cry out to the Lord. Because you're in a situation, you done figured out. Ain't nothing going to get me through this. This ain't going to get me through. That ain't going to get me through. I done acquired all this and I still feel empty or whatever. But I got to go through this situation. Okay, so I cry out to the Lord. And either that situation, he can yank you right out of it. Because it's happened. It just happened to this guy. And it's happened to me before. I mean, I've had those where like, whew, man, oh, that worked out just fine. Thank you, Jesus. And timely as well, you know. But sometimes God's like, no, you got to go through this. But see, when I cry out to God and I spend time with God in His Word and in prayer, God will change me. A lot of times you're going through that because God wants to change you. He's not all about just yanking you out of that situation. All right, there you go. Off with you. No, He's not like that, man. He's like, I need you to go through this. I know you don't get it. My ways are above your ways and so on and so forth. But guess what? You cry out to me, you spend time with me, I'm going to change how you see this situation. I'm going to change. I'm going to give you peace right through the middle of this. Amen. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? Thank you, Jesus. Father God, thank you so much that we are a group of folks that just want you, Lord. Father God, that we have realized, Lord, we've done tried everything this world has to offer. We've done tried all the good things and the bad things. And we know you are all we need. You are everything we need. And we're going to hunger and thirst for you, Lord, because we know you're going to fill us up. Thank you, Father God. Your will is going to be done in all our lives. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. Hey, real fast.